Hello and welcome to Up the Villa podcast. If you're new, please subscribe. Your support for our channel has been exceptional, especially. The title to this one on the thumbnail is What Went Wrong Part 2. I didn't intend for it to actually become a series. It's obviously a follow-on from what happened against Wolves. It's not nice having to talk about us when we're in a little bit of a mess, but we're going to bring in Justin. So what were your thoughts on Friday night, Justin, watching Aston Villa?
Well, I was excited before the game. I was obviously hoping we'd bounce back. I was thinking that this was a great opportunity for us to bounce back after what happened against Wolves. And after we spoke, after the Wolves debacle, we did say in that pod that we were worried that that defeat would be a bigger defeat than it was. And I think ultimately that's how it panned out against Arsenal. I think we didn't react at all to the loss. I think we were very poor from the first minute. I was very disappointed that he'd stuck with the formation that had been gradually just getting worse and worse by the game. I thought it was time to change it for Arsenal, but he didn't. We did have Bailey available. Obviously, he didn't deem that he was ready to start. And from the very first whistle, first 10 minutes, really, the tone of the game was set, wasn't it? We sat back. I've got to say, Arsenal were outstanding, but I think we allowed them to play. We allowed them to dominate. We didn't look pretty clueless in that first half, especially. And it was pretty embarrassing overall from a Villa fan's point of view. I don't know anybody that watched that game that's got one good word to say about it. And I'm worrying, a very worrying game to watch. Overall, really disappointed. There's lots of questions now that are going to be asked about Dean Smith. And I think this is, what we're going to try and discuss a bit tonight is, what's happened, what's gone wrong, where do we go from here? But overall, the game, bitterly disappointed and very frustrated.
I think one of the big talking points for us and the fan base in the last couple of weeks has been the formation in which we play. Now, we all know that pre-season was a shocking pre-season. We've had a lot of players out injured, so it's always been a case of players coming into a system which probably doesn't suit the personnel available. We haven't had Bailey. We haven't had Buendia at times. Traore's been out injured. So there's always seems to be someone injured, which stops us playing probably a 4-3-3 as such. But we've stuck with the 3-5-2. And the identity of the team, there just wasn't one on Friday night, was there? You look at all the players that are on that pitch, barring McGinn, they're all Dean Smith signings. So surely there should be character. We should be seeing a lot more from that team. There should be an identity to start with. There should be giving a level of performance which you want to be seeing week in, week out. I mean, I've just watched Man United, and it just reminded me of watching Villa on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the most concerning thing is when you do lose a game and you have a week until your next one, I think you just hope that they're going to get on the training ground, they're going to all get their heads together, have a good chat about what went wrong. I know it was a weird way to lose the game, the Wolves game, but ultimately it was a loss. So you want to regroup, you want to think about what you're doing, how do we want to attack the next game? And to start the way we did against Arsenal, I never understand it. I just cannot understand why we can't get up for a game like of that magnitude. The first 10, 15 minutes, we just didn't get going. The midfield was non-existent. The back, the 3-5-2 was basically a 5 at the back, which then becomes really difficult to get any kind of momentum or hold in the game because your forward players become massively isolated, which they were. And the midfield, was poor. And Buendia, as lovely as a footballer he is, and I still think he'd have a big big part to play for us this season. He's just gets, you know, in those kind of situations, those kind of games, they don't suit him at all, because we were dominated totally in midfield. He was knocked off the ball left, right and centre. His physicality, you know, he's up to that kind of battle in the middle of the park. So all those decisions that were made from the Wolves game to when we kicked off against Arsenal, you know, who's making those decisions? It's ultimately the manager and the coaching staff, isn't it? So there's only one really place to lay the blame there, isn't it? And the other most frustrating thing was I'm sure I wasn't the only one. I'm pretty sure probably 95% of the fan base was screaming at the telly, change the game, Dean. It's not working. And he's got this in his mentality where he just doesn't want to change the game early. I mean, waiting those extra 10-15 minutes was such a gamble, you know, 1-0, and it backfired huge. I mean, had we not given that penalty away and we'd have gone in 1-0, he would have got away with it, really, because he should have been 2-3 and up at half time. Obviously, it was 2-0, but he should have, you know, he could have been out of sight. So waiting and waiting and waiting to make that change. I don't get it. Whether he's too nice, you know, he does seem to be a really nice bloke, but I think sometimes you have to put that aside and do the right thing for the team. And the right thing for the team would have been to change the game after half an hour, change the formation, change the personnel, you know, send a message onto that pitch that this is really, really not good enough, and we're going to make changes, and we're not afraid to make changes and try to change the game, try to change the momentum in the game. You know, managers have very little, you know, say really when a game kicks off. It's only really half time and substitutions where they can affect the game. And that was his opportunity to say, I'm the manager, you're not doing it, so I'm changing it. I've got 6-7 players on the bench here that will all die to get on that pitch, so I'm going to chuck one of them on. And he didn't do it, which was really disappointing. And he's got to find that side to his management, I think, now, because he's going to be under increased pressure going forward if he doesn't.
Yeah, I think that the pressure is there now, isn't it? And it's going to get more and more with every bad performance that we do. So let's touch on Dino then. I'm like you. I do not want Dean Smith to get the sack. I do not want us to change our manager. But there's certain questions now where you're looking at it and you're thinking something just isn't really right, is it? I think for me, I want to sort of look at a little bit of the recruitment here as well. So we bring in Buendia. So Buendia comes in the summer, doesn't he? Fantastic player, like you. I feel like he's got a real, you know, he's going to be a good player with us. I saw a Norwich fan on Twitter watching the game, and he basically said Buendia is not a number 10. He doesn't play as a number 10. He plays out wide. So with that in mind, why is Buendia not playing out wide? I've no idea. We then bring in Danny Ings. Now, for me, every manager has their favourite player. That in every club, that there's always the manager's favourite player, the one that he's brought in, the one that, you know, Brucey, someone like El Mohammedi, do you know what I mean? Goes every club he goes to. For me, Watkins is that sort of player for Dino. So he's never going to drop Watkins, ever. He said that Watkins will not play out wide. So to me, this is the system that Dean wants to play, to fit Ings and Watkins in the same team, surely. We then bring in Leon Bailey, who does not fit into this system in the formation that we're playing right now. So to me, as a manager, you've got three players that you've brought in and they're playing in the system that they don't suit. The only system that these three players would suit is 4-3-3.
I think if we hadn't have brought in Danny Ings and we'd have brought Bailey and Buendia in and maybe a centre midfielder, let's say, for the Danny Ings money, then we'd be playing 4-3-3 all season, wouldn't we? There wouldn't be any of this argument. There wouldn't be any of this debate. It would be the same formation we played for two seasons. We'd have just obviously lost Jack and you'd play Bailey in that left-hand side or Buendia on the right. All you're doing is enhancing your sort of wide forward players, and then Ollie Watkins stays up front, doesn't he? But, you know, I think we all know we needed another option up front, but the Ings signing has unfortunately brought in far more questions than it has answers, because all he's done is he's just trying to shoehorn two players up front into he's had to change the formation, isn't he? That's how drastic it is. He's had to change the formation of what's worked for us to get them two in the team. And And I can't remember a game when I've watched them both play together and thought, wow, they really, really complement each other's game really well. They just don't. And now whether that'll come eventually, I've no idea. But up to now, you can only speak on what you've seen so far. And he just doesn't. They both like to run channels. They're both, you know, very good at tracking back, and they've got high energy, and you know, they run a lot. But ultimately, you need one centre forward, in my opinion, to play up top, and then the other one just has to sit on the bench and wait for the other one. Not the old-fashioned way. You've got two players in every position, and one player's got the shirt, and the other one sits on the bench. And if it's not happening for them during the 90 minutes, then they get substituted, and the other chap gets his 20 minutes, half an hour, whatever, to try and impact the game and turn the manager's head. Or, you know, he's not doing it for two or three games, so the other player comes in and gets a chance. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, you cannot play. We've got far too many players now to try and shoehorn them all in. We need to evolve. And this is what we talked about in the summer. We need to evolve a squad now, a squad mentality, where we've got so many good players that can all play in different positions. But it seems to be the thinking seems to be so muddled with formations and change. And I've no problem with the 3-5-2. It worked quite well. You know, it was only three, four games ago. We was thrashing Everton at home and winning away at Old Trafford. So, you know, it has got its merits, but I think it's even then it still looked like it was round, you know, square pegs in round holes because you know, they don't seem to gel together very well up front. And it's now costing Dean, you know, big really, isn't it? Because the results are starting to turn now. So straight away, people look at formations, don't they? And start saying, well, that's not right. You shouldn't have played him there. He's got to really go back to basics for me now. I think he's just got to sit down with his coaches. He's got to find a real stern side of his character now, because his job is massively, not massively on the line, but he's starting to be questioned hugely now. And I think it's right he's questioned, because it doesn't matter if you're a Villa fan or not. He's the current Aston Villa manager. And if results aren't right, then you know, you have to question what's going on. And that's what's going to happen, isn't it? You know, West Ham now is a huge game.
It is, and it wasn't so long ago that they were at the bottom of the Premier League with us, and they're now in Europe and playing really well. And that comes on to my next sort of point. We're in our third season of being a Premier League team now. We all would like to say we are an established team in this league. I don't feel like we're going to get relegated for one second, but there's been levels of performances so far this season against Watford, Brentford first half, Arsenal that first half, where we've been pretty woeful, and I don't really think that type of performance is acceptable. And this is what my issue is.
Spurs away as well.
We don't turn up. It's just not good enough, and that is the problem. We've been in this league 3 years now. We should be putting in a level of performance where we're like a 7 out of 10 every game. Do you know what I mean? Like, if we're bad, we'll be a 7. And then anything better, we'll be playing really well. But you go into the games now and you're thinking, what team's going to turn up here? You know, you go in on Sunday and you're thinking, we could get battered at home against West Ham the way they play. We could get absolutely bullied in midfield against West Ham, which is a real worry. And it just sort of feels like, watching us against Arsenal, it looked like we were a newly promoted team. That's how bad it was. And I just think it's just not good enough. I want to see a level of performance and in intensity. I want to see the team shape, the identity. I want to see us going in for tackles, pressing. There was just none of that on Friday night. It was absolutely awful. And I think that does come from the setup and what is being said. Like, some of the players on Friday, I actually felt sorry for them at times, because I just thought, what are they meant to do? You know, Cash was getting the ball target under pressure. You know, there was nothing that they could possibly do. It needed, like you say, changing and tweaking. And I think that's
this is a frustrating thing about the Arsenal game, right? Now, just after half-time, when he made the changes at half-time, for the first 10 minutes of the second half, we did look like a totally different team. You know, Watkins was playing off the left. He was cutting inside. I think we had two or three shots within 10 minutes. You know, of the second half starting, and that straight away, just that shape of that second half looked so much better than the whole of the first half. But we'd already given Arsenal the momentum of the 2-0. You know, had he done that after 30 minutes, you know, that last 15 minutes of the first half, we could have maybe settled into the new formation, new shape, and then kicked on in the second half at 1-0 down. And the way Arsenal are, they are, you know, should we have got one back and got it back to 1-1, I think we could have gone on and got something out of the game. But this is what we're on about with Dino. You know, he's got it. His substitutions, a lot of the time, are just, they're reactionary rather than you know, what, you know, he's waiting for something to happen before he makes the change, where he should be, you know, if we can all sit at home watching the telly going, we've got to change this because it's just, you know, all that's going to happen is they're going to score again. If we can see that, why couldn't they see that? And that's where the frustration of the fan base comes from, because all we kept seeing was the camera panning to him and Shakespeare for a good 20 minutes talking, but nothing changed. Nothing changed in the game. You know, momentum of the game didn't change. Arsenal just keep coming, the wave and a wave of attacks. So at what point does the manager go, this just isn't working, so we've got changes, let's do it? I can't compute that, really, because he's the one that can change the game. We couldn't. We were all screaming at the telly to do something, and he didn't do it. So, you could only blame the manager for that, really, can't you? You know, it's hard to sit here criticising Dean Smith because we love Dean Smith, and I still think he's the man that will take us forward. I'm praying that he can turn this around. But we can't sit here blinkered and lie from what we saw. We all know what we saw. We saw a performance that was utterly, utterly unacceptable from an Aston Villa team that now, like you say, is established in the Premier League and looking to kick on. And you can make all the excuses you want about injuries and we haven't had a good pre-season. Nobody's had a good pre-season. Everybody was in the same boat. Everybody had to come back and all over the place. Every team has interests. Every team has its players. It's how you react to those things. And we're reacting really badly now. And unfortunately, you know, in any line of work, in any business, if things aren't going well on the shop floor, you look to your manager to change it and you know, to be the one that, okay, what do we do now, boss? How do we change this? And that's what he's got to do now.
Yeah, I feel like it's not the end of the world. We're sitting 13th, 10 points, five yeah. points off sixth place. Not saying we're going to get sixth place, but we are just like probably a United game, a win away from the fan base feeling pretty, pretty positive. So, you know, we got West Ham coming up, a very, very difficult game. You know, so far this season, we've won 3, drawn 1 and lost 5, minus 2 goal difference. And like you're saying, it's been just pretty, pretty frustrating. I think one point I'd make about the Arsenal game, we'll finish on that Arsenal game as well now, because I'm sick of talking about it, is when we got the goal, right, when we got the goal, we had another little spell where, was it that little clipped ball that nearly went in as well? So that could have been 3-2, right? Look what happened when we started to put that Arsenal team under pressure. They're flaky. They're fragile. You know, you're saying they played really well. They did because we allowed them to. But the minute you start putting them under pressure, they were ropey at the back. So I'm like you, I just felt we should have made the changes earlier. I will not say Dean Smith out. I think some we get quite a few in the comments now saying Smith out. And I think that's just a reactional thing to say. I think, you know, for me, if you are going to say that, then let us write in the comments who could come in and do a better job. Because if someone's going to put Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard, then I'm sorry, that ain't going to sit well with me anyway. If those are the type of names that you're telling me that we're going to be bringing in to replace him. I think, yes, Dino, he's under pressure. We're not playing very well for everything that we've just said before this. But and then on the other hand, he deserves time to try and get us out of this little rut that we're in at the minute anyway. We're moaning about the performances and what we're watching, but I think he should have definitely more time to try and get this before a fan base starts turning. Another thing that I'd just like to mention as well is obviously on the fan base just on social media just needs to like sort of chill a little bit and just stop arguing with each other. If somebody says a point that they want to make online, then that's their opinion. They're entitled to make that point. You don't have to go at somebody for a point that they've made as well. I've seen so much on social media this weekend of fans just like turning personal on fans as well. And I just think it's just not good. We're bigger and better than that, you know. And I think, yes, question the team, question the performance, but you can't start taking it out on fans and arguing with them just because you don't agree with what they're saying, or if you think someone's being too positive and you're really negative, then do you know what I mean? That's your opinion. So I think everybody should just be a little bit nicer in what they're saying to each other as well. Because again, football, it's about opinions, isn't it? You know, you, Justin and me, we really like Dean Smith. If you don't like him, then fair enough. But I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that you've got to like Dean Smith. That's just not the way we should be doing things. So that's just my little rant about the fan base. I'm just a little bit annoyed at seeing just arguments all the time. And I just think that's just got to stop, to be fair.
On that, I totally agree with you. At the end of the day, you know, the reason we all love football is because it brings so many talking points. 190 minutes, you know, where I work, you know, I work in a retail shop, you work in a retail shop, we talk to a lot of people all week. So 190 minutes can keep me going all week with loads of customers coming in and out. We can discuss all the points and everything. And we all, and generally everybody's got a different opinion. You know, there is nothing wrong with somebody saying they don't want Dean Smith as a manager anymore. There's nothing wrong with that. It's their opinion. That they're totally entitled to think, I think somebody else can do a better job right now than Dean Smith. But conversely, people can say that I still think Dean Smith is the right man for the job, and I think he can turn it around. Neither point is right or wrong. It's football. It's debate. It's what's driven football for eternity. These blokes going to watch, women going to watch the match, going out, going back home, talking to your friends and family, all having a disagreement about what team you would pick, what formation you would pick, and how you'd go about attacking each game. It's just what makes football brilliant. You know, if it was just bland and black and white, it wouldn't be what it is, would it? We wouldn't be here talking about it every week, and there'd be nothing to do, would there? It'd be terrible. So, like you say, there's ways and means of talking to people. Just be kind. It's not difficult. Just be kind and be, you know, gracious and just, you know, stop the abuse. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a few little comments in the comment section about certain things that, you know, I've said or whatever, and to be fair, it is pretty rude, to be fair. You know, there's just literally like no need for it. So that's just my little point. You know, I won't reply as well in the comments. I won't reply to stuff that I don't really think is the right thing that I want to be reading, do you know, and sort of trying to manipulate the way I'm thinking, do you know what I mean? If it's something I'm definitely not in agreement with, then I'm just not going to reply, because it's just going to, you're looking for reactions. So I will say that.
Just escalates, doesn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? So if I feel like it's just going to do that, then I just won't respond to the comments. So, that's just my little point on it as well. So another one, let's just touch on Sanson then. There was rumours that he threw a bottle at Smith and you know, gave him the finger. I don't know whether that's true or not, but some people that were sitting behind the dugout said that that happened as well. What are your thoughts on that then, Justin? And how do we get Sanson in the team anyway?
There's two ways, I think, of sort of discussing this, isn't there? It's a bit like when somebody gets brought off and they throw a wobbly and they throw a bottle on the floor and they have a go at the manager. And, you know, I've no problem with that, because it shows passion. It shows they didn't want to be brought off. And by all accounts, again, I've no idea. It's only from all the little bits I've read on social media about what apparently happened was, I think he was told to get stripped to go on, and at the last minute, they changed their mind and put El Ghazi on. So I think for a player like him, who's had such a frustrating time at the club with the injuries and not getting as much game time as he would have hoped, mainly because of the injuries, not because he's a poor footballer. Obviously, when he's told to strip off and go on the pitch, he's thinking, right, this is my chance now to get on. And then obviously they change their mind. So, you know, I only played on a Sunday league level. And if our manager told me to strip off to go on and then change his mind and put someone off, I'd be pissed off. I'd be saying, what are you doing? You know, I'm ready to go on here. I can do this. You're going to back yourself, aren't you, as a player? You're going to back your ability and say, yes, I can go on, and yes, I can affect this game. But the other worrying side, if you can look at it, you know, in a worrying way, is that there's dissent in the camp and there's problems in the camp and they're not all getting on. And, you know, that's just, you know, it's spilling out into an open area where everyone can see. Is that a worrying sign? I don't know. I really don't know. You know, only time is going to tell on that matter. It'll be interesting to see what happens next week, because I've been saying it for 2 or 3 weeks now. I personally would get Morgan Sanson in the team now. If he's fit and if he's available, which he obviously is, then for me, he needs to come in. And that's, you know, it's a shame because Jacob Ramsey's done fantastically well. He scored a great goal. But the money we spent on Morgan Sanson, and that doesn't mean everything, but he came in with a huge reputation. You know, we got him cheaper than we probably would have got him if we'd have got him in the summer. So he's got a big reputation. He's obviously a very good footballer. I wanted to see us go to 4-3-3, and I want to see a Louise McGinn, Sanson, you know, midfield. Three, and I still hope that's the case. You know, I'd hope that might be the case on Sunday against West Ham. So, only time will tell. You know, what effect and how that argument is going to play out. Because, you know, if he's left out the squad, then obviously it was a lot deeper than it looked. Or if it was just the fact he was just a bit peed off that he thought he was going on and he didn't. You know, Smith might come out and just explain it like that. You know, I've got no problem with players showing passion. If they only the 11 on the pitch had shown as much passion as Sanson did on the dugout, we might have had a different result.
Definitely. Right. So we'll leave it there. Hopefully we've covered a lot of areas. And you know, we just want us to be doing a lot better, don't we? Putting in performances, playing to the level that the squad should be playing at. It's not like we just sat here and we deluded and, you know, we shouldn't be performing better because we're at a certain level that's what we're at and we're punching above our weight. There's no bones about it. We should be doing better, basically.
I'll say one more thing before you finish it off. Let's not forget that before Project Restart, we were dead and buried in this league. We were going down and we had a few weeks off where Smith went away and did a lot of research. He had a really long think about how to change this team around. And we came back and we stayed up. Now, if he's done that once, he can do it again. This is nowhere near as bad a situation as we found ourselves in that season. So please, everybody that goes to that game next week, I know we're going to do a preview one, but if you're watching this and you watch the preview one, get behind the team on Sunday. It is so imperative when they come out. West Ham is going to be an incredibly difficult game. They are a very, very good side now. And we've got our backs against the wall. So every single one of them players, whoever they are, whatever formation gets picked, and Dean Smith, he needs to know that we've got his back. And yes, the Villa fan thing shouldn't matter. He should just be the Villa manager. But he is a Villa fan. So let's go and show him how much he means to us and what he's done to us. And let's get beyond the lads.
Spot on. We'll finish it up there.